Okay, here we go. Hour number two. Glad you're along tonight. We're going to go up to the great state of, if I should give it away. How's the legal marijuana going up there, by the way?
It's everywhere. It's outrageous. It's
a new form of smog.
It is truly unbelievable.
Right.
I'm serious. It's everywhere.
Jay Widener is our guest, in case you're not online looking at guests. And Jay's with us once a month, been a friend for a long, long time. So this is wild. Crime is supposedly down.
Yep.
Tell us more. This is fascinating.
Well, it's at first I couldn't quite believe what I was seeing. It was capitalism in its finest hour almost, where as soon as this thing was released and it was legal, suddenly, they were coming up with brands of marijuana that could cure mental illness, and all of a sudden people started moving here to Colorado because their children could get off of pharmaceuticals and start taking this new strand of marijuana, which actually doesn't get them high. It just doesn't have much THC, but it has other properties which allow certain mental conditions to stop.
Well, like PTSD?
Yeah, like PTSD. Yeah, one of them. Children's disorders. And it's actually, so it's just, it's going crazy. I mean, and now there's so many varieties of edibles and drinks, and there's stores popping up everywhere, and everyone has just accepted it as just, wow, I've never seen anything quite like it. Nobody's protesting. Nobody's talking about how horrible it is. Maureen Dowd, who's a journalist for the New York Slime, she came here to write about, what happened in Colorado. She bought a candy bar, which is you're supposed to break up into 16 pieces and eat one piece, when you want to feel the effects.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Hershey's is suing over that for some reason. I'm not sure if they're using Hershey's chocolate or it's just the idea that
they're
using chocolate.
Maybe they're using the name, I don't know. But she ate the whole candy bar in like 10 minutes, right? Yeah. And then she went into a coma and nearly wanted to die for like 10 hours, of course,
if you take a bottle of prescription medication and down it at once, you're going to have the same thing, right?
Exactly. It's like, Marine, don't come to our state, drink 50 bottles of wine, and then blame the liquor store. Really? I mean, come on. I mean, if you're coming here and you're gonna partake of something, you have to do it in some kind of responsible way. She's saying that we should outlaw marijuana because she came here and ate an entire candy bar.
This is Maureen Dowd. Was she sent in here? Was she sent in?
I think so. I think the New York Times and all the pharmaceutical companies don't want this to happen. It's the worst thing that they could ever imagine. And the fact that crime is dropping and profits and taxes are swelling is, in my view, if this continues, and I think it will, because I don't think the momentum can be stopped, then I believe this is the first blow against the pharmaceutical company. I really do.
This is the only parallel that comes to mind is this evil weed that in the 1930s they were making films about. Songs about how horrible it was, how it would drive you to demonic possession and worse. Finally, better part of a century later, one state, full state, or is it just in the city? I forget.
No, it's a full state.
Yeah, legalizes it. And guess what? The world doesn't end. Guess what?
No.
People are being helped. Guess what? Crime is down. Guess what? Mother Nature is full of things like this to help people.
Absolutely. And also, one other thing that's going on in Colorado is they're actually going to review every single person who's in jail on marijuana charges.
Oh, they should.
And let them go.
Damn right.
So we're going to get rid of like maybe 20 to 30% of our prisoners.
And that's high?
Yeah, it is. Marijuana, I heard that 50%, this was 10 years ago, 50% of everybody in America's prisons are in on marijuana-related charges.
Oh, yep. My God.
It, ridiculous, completely ridiculous. And it really all stems from William Randolph Hearst, who, of course, ran Hearst Publishing, and they had perfected a way to make paper out of hemp in the late 20s, and he owned all the forests in Oregon and Washington State, where, you know, he bought them so that he could use the forest to make his papers. And he was fearful that his investment was going to be lost. So he changed the name of it from cannabis to marijuana, giving it a, you know, Hispanic, you know, name to it. So it sounded spooky and weird. And then started writing all these articles, having them written about the, how it caused you to become a demon and funding the movies that were made about marijuana. It was all him that did it. And just because he was trying to protect his forest interests. And so the other good thing about this is there's people here in Colorado who are actually growing hemp to make paper. And here's the thing. One of these hemp plants, and I've seen them, can grow to 20 to 30 feet in one season. They could have a 7 to 10 inch stalk that you need a chainsaw to cut down.
Now, that's not the same plant that has the THC in it, though, is it?
It doesn't have any THC in it. But
no, that's the industrial hemp.
Yeah, it's industrial hemp, but I mean, it grows tree size in one
correct
season.
No, they do this in Canada. I've seen forests of these things. They're just astounding.
They are, and, you know, we don't... Wow, we're just so lame. It's just unbelievable. This is one of the, you know, and like you said, this is only one of thousands and possibly hundreds of thousands of plants that are out there that, you know, they grew with us through our evolution. They are there for us. I don't even know what to say. It's almost like the blinders have been on so long that we can't even see the bounty before us.
Well, centuries upon centuries, absolutely.
Yep.
Now, this is very interesting. I want to make a prediction of a forecast. When they finally give up this ridiculous ET cover-up, the results are going to be similar. There'll be enlightenment. Yep. There'll be a deep content among people. That they know that the crooks and criminals and killers on this planet are not the be-all and end-all of life and its existence, that there is a better way out there, and that we have something to strive for. And I think that the net result, the net gain of being told the truth, although I don't know if the bastards are going to, will be nothing but good for this planet. Nothing but good.
I agree with you. I don't think it. I really don't know if it matters anymore what they do.
I think most people have disengaged from that. I care not. I could care less about the cover up. But
yeah,
it's time to formally end it.
It is. It really is because you're right. It'll be a great liberation, and it'll be like just like what's happened in Colorado. It's just going to be like, whoa! Am I glad that was over. I mean, that's generally the feeling that you get here. Everybody's like, wow, what a strain that was on our lives to be so worried about these laws.
Yeah.
And,
horror.
And of course,
paranoia, stress, angst, God, just think about it.
I mean, you're old enough. You remember guys in Texas getting busted for two joints and going to jail for 20 years? I mean, this is really true. People spent 20 years in jail for two joints.
Yeah.
That's how insane this country was. And, you know, a little bit of sanity has creeped into the United States.
No, I don't think so. I think it's grown to the point now where that's impossible. I think where the sanity came in was among the electorate. It became so obvious to so many people. They forced the criminals to back down with
their
vote. And, no, I think the country, and I think you'd agree, of course, is far worse and getting worse by the hour. But the people stood up and came through in Colorado, and all the negative publicity about how Colorado was going to go to hell and crime would just explode. And you remember the negative ads, and it was amazing. And now we've got...
Yeah, I was here. It was incredible.
Yeah. Those ads ought to be pulled out, some of them, and rerun with commentary.
You're right. We should put them on YouTube.
Yes, absolutely, if you can find them.
I'm going to find them.
And then just over them, or at the end, just run screen text of what's happened. Crime down. By the way, this has given rise to, oddly enough, a small, but a significantly small, new industry base, employment base, and it's changed the society, I think, in a way that nothing else could, from what I'm understanding and seeing from out here.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk further, because I got more to say about that.
Okay, we'll be right back with Jay in just a minute. Hang on. Okay, right back with you and Jay in Colorado. All right, what else?
Well, it's going to become a wave across the country. Other states are coming here and looking at what's going on.
And taking notes and watching.
Yeah, and realizing that suddenly Colorado's got, 30,000, 50,000 more jobs.
It's that many. And
it is unbelievable, man. It's really unbelievable. Everybody is jumping into this. The money is jumping into it. So now the money's coming.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to go back to their states like Oregon, Iowa, places that can grow, have a lot of water, are going to go back, and they're going to say, listen, this is the answer to a lot of our problems. And it's just going to sweep. And I predict that within 3 years, most of this country is going to be legal.
Well, it's way past time. I'm amazed about the job. 30 to 50,000 jobs in a state, that's a
Well, they're saying 10,000, but they're saying 10,000, but it, I know a lot of what's going on in the underground, and what's going on is there's a lot of jobs being funded that haven't been quite registered yet because it's just started recently, right? It just got legalized a few months ago. And so they're, and that's not counting the greenhouses that are being built, the infrastructures that are happening. None of this is being counted, but entrepreneurs are swarming into the state with money and business acumen, and Colorado is going to be in the catbird seat because it's going to be first. So all the industries that are going to be marijuana related are probably all going to be based in Colorado or Washington State. So it's
very good. I know I did see a story about shops opening up all over the place, about limo tours. I forget what they call it. High Times limo tours or something.
Yeah, you can go from one store to another.
Something. You know. It was a parade of stores. And now they're as you say, putting in chocolate. They're putting it in soft drinks. Kind of goes back to the old days of Coca-Cola in a way, with cocaine. They'll be putting it in all kinds of foodstuffs.
They will, and I have to say that I'm not sure what it is, but I have noticed that people do seem happier now. I don't know if it's the pressure and the stress gone away, not the worry anymore. But it tells me, of course, I'm a libertarian. So I always believe this, but I just think we should just get rid of all the drug laws. I'm really kind of done with all of them. I don't see what good they do.
They do no good, and I concur 100%. Anybody who looks at the situation honestly and objectively would, I think, agree with you without even hesitation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to take cocaine. I'm not going to take heroin.
How many cops have said it's time?
Absolutely. Yeah. The cops know because they're sick and tired of it. It's like they can't do anything serious. All they can do is bust kids that are blowing weed, and it's just ridiculous. The whole thing is stupid, and it's one tiny moment of sanity in an ocean of insanity in this country, I'll tell you.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Very glad to hear it.
Yeah, some good news. You know, speaking of people waking up and taking over and things, I find it very interesting the number of very odd shootings that have been going on recently.
Too many.
And it juxtapositioning these odd shootings with articles from Newsweek saying that Sandy Hook conspiracy theories are pressing, you know, against the free speech, and Chuck Schumer trying to stop free speech, and Dianne Feinstein trying to introduce another gun bill.
Oh, and idiotic gun bill. Another one.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, this is scary. Yeah, and you know, all my friends are scared of this, and we realize that, you know, that what's going on. At the same time, isn't this like a token of their real desperation that they're going to these extremes?
Well, Sandy Hook didn't work.
It didn't.
So now what are we doing? It's become a drumbeat. Another shooting, every day, another shooting, three dead, two dead, one dead, six dead, five dead. Mm-hmm. It's happening all the time. Now, I don't think I'd be stretching it to suggest that more than a few of these are being orchestrated by the socialists in this country who have an agenda.
Yep. Yep.
There's no question in my mind about that. But the other side of the coin is very interesting. These are supposed to have shock value and stampede the sheep into voting to outlaw or drastically restrict gun ownership, gun rights, the Second Amendment. What's happening is
exactly
they're desensitizing the public to it, and it's backfiring on them.
Exactly. It's like climate change. It's like, what a yawn. I don't even care if it's hot out. I'm tired of it. And it is amazing.
You got it, too. This hit me the other day, and I said, you know, they're obviously doing a lot of these, but they've gone way overboard. Sandy Hook was a bust, just taken apart piece by piece by people like Wolfgang Halbig and Jim Fetzer and others who have been just all over it. It stinks, rotten, and it's not working anymore. And you see these kids, the ones that survive, and even like the one in Santa Barbara, if you saw pictures of him before, he didn't look right. He didn't look right in the head.
Well, if you look at that, at his video where the it is incredibly produced video, by the way. Maybe he learned something from his director father.
Uh-huh.
The video where he's in the car telling about how no girl.
I didn't see it. I won't watch it.
You should watch it. It has incredible production values.
Really?
I mean, it is, you know, $30 million film production values, and the sun is like, it's the perfect, it's the magic hour of the day. The sun is golden. Of course, Santa Barbara has that beautiful golden light, and the camera is placed right in the sweet spot. Now, I suppose it could be a coincidence. He just stuck it on the dash, and he just happened to be right at the place where a professional cinematographer would want to put a camera. But he did. And then there's another odd thing about that video, and that is, well, for one thing, if that's supposed to be sincerity, then I don't know. It wasn't madness to me. It just looked bad acting to me. And the other thing that it looked to me was that he, about every 35, 40 seconds, he looks to his left, and his eyes go to the same exact spot every single time.
Uh-oh.
Off screen to the left.
I got it, a prompt.
It is. He's looking at a prompt. He's trying to remember what his lines are. I mean, I'm sorry. That is the way I read that. When I see that as a film director, I'm looking at that going, what? You know, this is like bad filmmaking, only with a good cinematographer. And then, of course, there's Mr. Martinez, Richard Martinez, I don't know what to say about him.
Well, kind of a Sandy Hookish thing.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, I
don't know what to say about him.
Good.
The whole
point.
Thing is so weird, man. I don't know what to say.
Well, there's one, and then you look at some of the others, and one of them survived. I forget where, one in Seattle or somewhere, and his eyes aren't screwed in right.
Yeah.
You know, these kids are so easily programmed. Mind control, yep. as we've talked about forever, is a polished science. It's easy. It's easy pickings. No problem. So he looked out the window. He's getting a prompt, or there's a prop or something out there.
Something. Something.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Yep. Weird. All right. Be right back. Okay, and we're back with Jay Widener talking about life around us in this rapidly decomposing corpse that used to be a wonderful place to live and raise children. More and more young people now are saying, I don't want children. I don't want to bring children into this world. And I'm afraid I have to say, bravo. They're thinking ahead. They're not being selfish. Now, there are exceptions, and there are good folks who want to have children and live in a good part of the country where they'll be able to at least have a good shot at it for a while. But it is all heading in the wrong direction. You saw the story, I'll bring it up again. The Obamas are buying in Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Just on the odd coincidence that one of the senators in North Carolina is retiring in 2016. So who's going to run for the Senate? Probably Michael. I mean Michelle.
Yeah.
Just like Hillary in New York.
Well, he's a good football player, so he'll probably do a good job.
Yeah, well, that shoulders and that neck, look at that neck musculature. You know, they did that video about standard head width compared to shoulder width in males versus females. There's a standardized difference. The ring finger being longer than the index finger in males. Standardized, and whatever she is or was, and those adopted kids, is just another CIA wedding of political expedience. And that's just like the Clintons. They hate each other's guts. Some Secret Service agent didn't want to carry some bag or something. I don't know what the circumstances was. And she's got one of the foulest mouths in Washington, as most people know. She said, get the F away from me, and just, you know, abusing the guy. She's a really a deceitful, three-faced phony.
She is
an evil one. Evil.
The most psychopathic person that I've ever seen in public office, and I mean that. And Bill Clinton was a psychopath, but he was a good-natured psychopath.
Obama's
a psychopath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Obama's a psychopath, not a good-natured psychopath, and I would have said that he's the worst psychopath I've ever seen outside of George W., but, man, when I see her and I see her joking about killing Gaddafi, and, it gives me chills.
She's a killer. Bill Deagle met her and tells the story. He may tell it again tonight. I don't know. He's on Next Hour. He said he met her once, and I think he shook her hand, but he said, I looked in her eyes, and I saw pure evil. I saw death. He said it was a chilling experience.
Yeah, and I think that what's his name? Timothy Weiner, the former congressman.
Yeah.
His wife. I think that's her girlfriend. I believe she's of Indian descent or maybe Arabic.
Oh yeah, that's right. There's an ethnicity involved in Hillary's relationship. Is that Wiener's ex-wife?
Well, I think they're still married. I think that, you know, they're good friends with the Clintons. So I think.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you know, I think, again, it's a CIA thing, and she's been given over to, you know, be her girlfriend to make sure she keeps an eye on her and handles her and all
well,
that.
Well, you know, Hillary said that when they left there 8 long, arduous years in the White House, they were broke.
Yeah, I guess she must have forgot that Bill had signed a $5 million book deal before he left the White House.
Maybe she
thinks $5 million isn't very much money.
It's all relative, right? $20 million is, we're broke.
Yeah, exactly.
Offshore, forgot about that, forgot about Switzerland, forgot about holdings that are buried 3-4 deep through the old Rose Law Firm. And
absolutely. Yeah. When they ran for president in 92, Bill had to file his earnings, and they were worth $3.7 million. How do you make $3.7 million making $54,000 a year as governor? I mean, really? Come on. I mean, you know, and nobody questions it. Nobody cares.
Well, that's Arkansas.
That's Arkansas. Yeah, good old Arkansas. Yeah. So you know, I don't know. I hope. But I don't mean, what's the alternative? We got Hillary and then what? Jeb? Jeb running against her?
Oh, Jeb, and now you got this Ben Sass, who's a fast tracker. If Hillary has a health episode, my call is that this Ben Sass will, if he can survive the Page scandal. He was in charge of the Pages in the House.
He's
got 3 kids and a wife and very articulate. The guy speaks. He speaks. He's spot on.
Is he a Democrat?
Yeah.
A white guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that Democrats can elect a white man anymore, do you?
I don't know.
I don't think that they can ever appoint another white, unless he's gay, another white male to the Supreme Court or anything. I mean, I just don't see it anymore. I mean, it's kind of obvious that they're never going to. I mean, look at Obama's court appointment. Look at, I mean, it's all out war, baby.
Well, we'll see. We will see. Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to do 3 things at once here. This whole situation now, we're in primaries. Everyone's, except for Cantor, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but everyone's winning, no problem, same old. We sent 96% back to Congress 2 years ago. We're going to do it again, most likely.
Maybe. Not sure about that.
I misspoke. If I said Sass was a Democrat, I meant he's a Republican, and my angle is, it's all about Jeb. If Jeb doesn't run, it'll be Sass. That's my view. Now, if Jeb doesn't want to run, he's going to get a lot of pressure from the old man. The old man wants him to be president, and he's got the Latino-speaking wife. But look up S-A-S-S-E, Sass, pronounced Sass. Look at his family, and he's pick a YouTube clip of him and watch him speak. He is really sharp. He's the best Republican I've seen in years.
Really?
Young Republican, seriously. He's got it. And then maybe this Page thing will get him, I don't know. But he's got what it takes to make the it's all a popularity contest, we know that. But he's got it. He's got that. He's got that charisma. But he speaks intelligently. He speaks very, very pragmatically.
Oh, he's from my hometown.
Is he really?
Yep.
Good. Yeah, no, the Democrat thing is all, I didn't mean to put him in there. It's all locked up. Hillary's going to get it easy. No, it's already done. She's been all but installed as the nominee. We'll see what rabble make efforts, but it ain't going to happen. Hold on, back in a minute with Jay. Okay, back with Jay. Interesting to watch the maneuvering. Mark Levin, or Levine, endorsed Ben Sasse, the Republican for U.S. Senate in Nebraska. Now, I played this clip before. It's the first clip after he won the election and will be the Republican candidate. Now, I was thinking earlier when I said Democrat of Obama. Obama, when he gave that keynote speech, when was it, 94?
Yeah, no, 98.
When,
no, no,
96,
no, 2004. Right? 2004.
Okay, I knew I had a four in there somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, he gave that in 2004, I guess the opening keynote speech at the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah.
And I, as you and many of you listening, immediately saw this guy had been put on the fast track. No question. I said, there's the next president right there. He will be president. And it didn't take much of a brain to figure that out. On the Republican side, Ben Sasse reminds me of the same thing, but not as corrupt, not as like a robot. Listen to him. I don't know if you've heard him or not, Jay, but it's worth listening.
I just watched in the break. I watched a couple of YouTubes. I'm very impressed, actually.
Yeah, no, this guy could breathe life into the Republican Party. The Bush name is a negative. Of course, Hillary is a negative with all of her skeletons. God, she's got dozens of them. But take a listen, folks, to Ben Sasse here being questioned.
Watch, I should say. They show a connection between Washington, Cincinnati, and the IRS targeting of Tea Party groups. Your reaction?
You know, there's a pattern with this administration. You try to obfuscate and deny and delay, and then by the time there's information that comes out, they say it's old news, and it's really troubling. We need more aggressive congressional oversight, and this administration needs to stop trying to write law and they're out of control.
I mean, it really took high-profile Tea Party-type candidates like Sarah Palin, Ted Cruz, and others to help you out. But other people didn't have the benefit, weren't the beneficiary of the Tea Party and how they've organized. That election's now in our rearview mirror. Do you think it's time for us to move on or drill down?
You know, what I find in Nebraska is that the folks here, they believe that the center of life is in Nebraska, not in Washington, D.C. And what Tea Party means to most of the folks across our state is they want more urgency out of Washington about the bigger things and staying out of the vast majority of life. So I think when you talk to people across the 93 counties in Nebraska, what they're looking for is a lot more serious return to constitutional principles, which is just the American idea that life is fundamentally lived in the private sector. I think that idea is a winning idea all across the electorate.
So, Ben.
Now, you just heard, in my estimation, magic. That plays. That's political magic. That'll play anywhere. And he's very smart.
He's very handsome. I think he could really go far. I haven't been paying attention until now, but I'm going to start paying attention to this guy. It could be very interesting.
Yeah, what he said really was very clever because it crossed, in my view, it crossed all party lines. It was a humanitarian, a true grassroots statement made with sincerity. And he's right. He's right. I don't think it could be said any better. I don't even know this guy, and I'm not a registered voter in either party. But if he is as sincere as he seems, now they all, granted, have to play the game, but this guy could really go places. We'll see.
I think he could give Jeb a run for his money.
Oh, completely agree. If the vote count is remotely legitimate,
yeah.
I think he could walk away from it.
Well, we'll talk about something else here. Something that happened to me today, actually. Well, you know that Eric Cantor, you know, lost on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And, you know, lost pretty heavy. And, you know, the inside scoop, of course, you know, everybody's saying, oh, it's a Tea Party. But actually, the inside scoop says that it was because he was slowly going towards favoring amnesty, right? And they were going to vote in favor of amnesty, and the people in Virginia absolutely lost it when all these people start pouring over the border. This is what the inside politicos say, okay? Now, the major media says, oh, it's the Tea Party overthrowing, you know, a Republican Party establishment, blah, blah, blah. But the Tea Party isn't that big in Virginia. This was big, okay? And so the general consensus is that if you're leaning towards pro-amnesty, you are in great danger over the next year, mm-hmm. okay? Now, here's the kicker. I was driving home tonight, and I unfortunately turned to a station on the radio that was playing the BBC, and for a brief 3 minutes, I listened to the BBC, which I never do, and the report from the BBC was, believe it or not, Cantor lost because the Republicans and the people of Virginia were sick and tired that the Congress wasn't doing anything about immigration reform. So they threw him out because he wasn't pro-amnesty.
Oh, well, that's
it was unbelievable. And all the liberals are listening to this crap being spewed out of their PBS and NPR yeah. radio stations via BBC, which, of course, you know, knew 28 minutes before World Trade Center number yeah. 7 went yeah. down that it was going down.
Yep.
You know, it was like, really, really, you're going to trust this source? You would actually put this garbage on your radio station? Really? I mean, I can't even believe it.
British Broadcasting Pedophile Corporation. There's yep. so much
protecting
evil.
Protecting the city of London from mm. everyone.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know. I felt almost that Cantor was dumped for a reason. Not by the people so much, but by the machine. And I'm probably totally wrong on that, but I think you just brought up the real reason. But he didn't, you know, if he'd have lost 51-49,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but this wasn't. This
butt
was
kicked.
This was a bowl over, and I don't know. My feeling is, and you know, you're pretty sophisticated, and you know that BRICS is really putting pressure on the New World Order right now.
Yeah, it's going to get worse too.
Yeah, and the New World Order is not complying with BRICS.
No,
they're headed
toward a something big and bad.
They are. They're it looks to me like they're headed towards some kind of suicide, and they don't seem to notice what's going on. You know, and a lot of people are complaining about Putin not acting in Ukraine, you know, and doing anything to stop, you know, Nylander, Vicky Nylander and her cohorts, but.
Vicky and Ratsenyuk and Poroshenko.
Yeah, and Porky, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole group. But, you know, maybe Putin is supposedly a master chess player. And I
we'll
would
find
not,
out.
Yeah, we'll find out. Exactly. I don't know. We'll see.
We know maybe right now that he is allowing and obviously encouraging large numbers of fighters to come in, the Vostok battalion from Chechnya. From the other areas, they're pouring into the east on the ground, and they've got shoulder-fired missiles now that can take these helicopters down. So he's probably fighting the war that way, although he yeah. did abandon the people in that area who are being shelled around the clock. He promised them, so did Lavrov, that if any were killed, they would come in immediately and help them. Well, the help is not immediate. Now you have the bizarre spectacle of Porky and his government demanding lower prices than ever for gas when they're $4.5 billion in debt. Putin offered him $3.65 a cubic meter, and for 100 cubic meters or whatever it is. And Ukraine says no, it's not low enough. We want to pay $268. Or something like that. I mean, this is unprecedented cheap. So I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out.
Well, you can't appease these guys. They just keep coming, and you say no to them, and they come back twice as hard.
You appease Zionists, and you dig in your own grave.
You know, they will come at you with all guns blazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole criminal cabal has got to come down. Or we're not going to survive, The planet isn't going to survive.
And, no, it didn't. No.
It was kind of
the planet will
point,
still be
folks.
Here, but the planet as we know it won't survive.
That's right. And you know, this is kind of it. I mean, I think the line's being drawn in the sand right now, and I don't feel good about what I'm seeing. I see them building up and propagandizing, and no, I don't see the propagandizing working very well, but they're still doing it, and they seem relentless, like they're never going to stop. They're going to kill as many children as they can until they can finally get rid of guns.
That seems to be the agenda.
Yeah,
no argument with you.
Yeah, and that moment when the guns go, and I'm not a gun freak, but you know, I understand what freedom is. And the minute that happens,
goodbye.
We know that's it. It's over. Party's over.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why the DHS bought 4 billion rounds of hollow point death dealing 40-cal ammunition. That's why the U.S. Department of Agriculture has bids out now for submachine guns capable of firing 2-round and full auto bursts. This is nuts. The Postal Service, the IRS, they've all got guns. You can name your agency now, and they're all armed. So we'll see.
Simultaneously arming themselves while demanding that we disarm. Only a fool could not see what's going on here.
What groups are going to be doing if there is an effort by the police to take guns, they're going to gather and publish names of public employees who are working for the police department, where they live, if they're married, how many children they have. You watch. That's going to be some of the pushback. And that's going to scare the crap out of the police, and it should.
So, it should, and you're right, man. That is excellent analysis. Yes, exactly what's going to happen.
Just came into my head, and I said that's how they're going to do it, one way. And unfortunately, it's going to get real ugly if they start killing people on our side of the fence. The cops and all their war toys better be very careful. Very careful.
Yep.
Okay, Jay,
no
thanks.
About it, man.
And here's a quick note. I don't watch television, but I got a chance to watch a little late night TV. You can see it on YouTube. There is actually an intelligent, witty, genuinely humorous late night talk show host. The guy is good. He's real good. His name is Craig Ferguson, and very clever. I think he's as good as I've ever seen on late night. He's good. So take a look. Just look at the first half. It's only an hour show. Look at the first half hour if you can find it. But you'd be surprised. He's original. He's inventive. He's very quick-witted. And it's fun. Fun guy. And I hate to say that about, I don't have TV. Commercial TV. He's good. Craig Ferguson. Just a little free pitch for Craig if you're listening. Okay. Thanks, Jay. As always,
thanks,
my friend. You be well.
Yeah.
There he goes, Jay Widener. And we'll be back with R3.